Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Sully. Introducing to the show, Justin McClain, edgy movie reviewer. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Anytime. So we are talking shit about the Top Gun franchise. That's right. You heard it from us here on a holiday where we're talking about military movies. We're talking about Tom Cruise and his inflated ego.
So, that's right.
Justin, before we begin, what were some of your favorite and least favorite action movies growing up?
Oh, wow. Growing up, Predator.
Okay, so you were big on the creature features. And the
Yeah. Predator, Alien. Really anything Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. Like Commando.
Oh, nice.
Raw Deal.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I had to watch all the Planet Hollywood stuff. Just the Rambos and John McClane's and John Matrix's of the world were just like, yep. Yeah. And I'm with you. Yeah, Tom Cruise just never did it for me just because I just knew he was just a shitty person. And I was just like, I mean, I could watch The Firm. I can watch Edge of Tomorrow, but I'm not watching it because of his ass. No. Not even.
Yeah, I really like The Outsiders, but he wasn't like central. Yeah,
it's a great book.
No, me either. And then that was before I learned that he's like, you know, a gigantic POS in real life. So
yeah, he's trying to get women to be his bride for the Scientology gangsters, and you're just like, man, and just it hurts your feelings even more when you realize like every other celebrity has been taken advantage of. They're more than just crazy. Like they've been brainwashed. Like if you've seen the Going Clear documentaries, like they come to you basically when you've had a tragedy. Jason Biegg on Chicago PD basically was interviewed. And he's like, I lost everything. They made me take advantage of people. So I'm like, so basically it's like you're a brand ambassador, but you're doing more than just selling shit to family and friends. Now you're basically like, if they refuse to like go along with you, you have to disown them. I'm like, that is, oh my God, that is fucked. So yeah, I mean, so
it's like an Uber, like Uber pyramid scheme.
It is a pyramid scheme. Oh my God, yeah. From the top to the bottom. And yeah, it's like freaking John Travolta, Will Smith, J-Lo, just about everybody is like into their various like fortress of solitude just based off doing what these fuckers do. And yeah, Tom Cruise is no different. And
no,
other than Collateral, it just seemed like he, and even Tropic Thunder, he just basically just had to just be, I'm running, I'm intense, show me the money. I'm like, okay, done, stop.
I forgot about Tropic Thunder, man. That movie's hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Danny McBride, though, he's the one that sells it for me in Tropic Thunder.
Oh yeah, get ready to get and Mother Nature just pissed her pants.
Big ass titties.
Oh, missed opportunity. Top Gun should have crossed over with fucking Tropic Thunder, but still. But see, here's the fucking thing. The minute, this is career security. I mean, so I was a big Tony Scott fan growing up, but Top Gun just never did it for me. And it was before my sister and I were both quoting the Tarantino line where he's like, oh, it's no total gay romance of a movie, you know. And so you guys have all heard the jokes. We've all told the plot. Oh, Anthony Edwards is Goose. Oh, help me, Goose. And we've heard it all. So what is there to talk about other than it launched Tony Scott's career as a director, and Kelly McGillis hated working on that movie. Val Kilmer was rumored to have hated working on that movie and then recanted. Oh, no, I like working with talkers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he probably got in trouble.
Well, Val Kilmer's always in trouble.
Poor old Val.
I follow Val.
He seems like a pretty sweet dude.
Yeah, I think he's come around. I think, well, when I read that recent editorial he did where he's just like, he got famous and then he didn't know what to do with the fame. And so he was just like always miserable. That broke my heart. Yeah. It was like, oh, dude, yeah. I grew up watching you in Spartan, Ghost in the Darkness, the freaking Batman and Heat. And you hated it. Oh, man. Shit. That sucks.
Yeah, right. No,
it would have made it better. But it we're all kind of, I think with all this mental health and just politics, and I mean, you do hysterical and awesome satire on even your Facebook page. It's like, I think everyone's just finally coming out of their shell and just saying, just move on. Just fucking let it out. Just be blunt. Because you can have it all and still be fucking dissatisfied.
Like Kurt Cobain.
Right? Oh, God. And we just now finally got the Biggie and Tupac murders fucking figured out. That was 20 plus years later.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I mean, all these celebrities, everything. And so, I mean, with when they did a Top Gun 2 and it was coming out, I was kind of like you. I was just seeing the trailer. I'm like, this is so ego-headed. What is this fucking thing? And then... And then when I see all these other two, like Mission Impossible 7 and 8, like back to back, like trailers coming out, I was like, okay, so finally they're confirming the long often talked about rumors. Tom Cruise is going to fucking die and someone else is going to take over for the next whatever. It's that's Tom's Expendables Fast and Furious franchise. I got it. But yeah, Top Gun 2, I just, when it was delayed and everything, and I was just like, but really, what story do they have to tell?
Yeah, I don't know. It's
It was always hysterical. Did you ever watch the TV show Jag?
No, I didn't. But Catherine Bell is hot.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, I'd do anything for her. Anyway, yeah, so that was the NCIS parent show. And it always guffawed me when they just show endless cruise liner shots and this is like, or submarines. And you're like, yeah, they're going to the Paramount vault and just taking just about any stock footage they can of Top Gun or Crimson Tide, just putting it in there. And it never matched up when they were on a budget.
For Red October.
Yeah, they would do that too. It's like, I've seen October since I was a young boy. I know that submarine shot. Why do you think this just doesn't land for just certain crowds other than Tom's overburdensome, just, I gotta be in every scene? It just always felt like a poor man's Tom Clancy to me. I'm like, there's just no draw. Like, there's no feel. I want to actually see these guys train, and all I'm getting is just montage after montage of 80s music. I mean, I like Kenny Loggins, Footloose, come on. But
yeah,
I mean, you could be fucking watching Archer and you know what danger zone means. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone on Facebook the other day brought up a good point. I mentioned that it was just a heavily like masculine, toxic masculinity on steroids.
Good take. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone said that Commando is too, but that's a good movie.
Right. And Commando's like a live action cartoon. Like, you interview anyone who was involved with it, like the director was like, I ripped off Rambo 2's finale. Steven Nita Souza has been on a lot of great podcasts lately, and he's like, and at one point the distributor was like thinking of someone else besides Arnold, and he was like, no, this doesn't work without Arnold. Because true. This is, I have nothing to write the all these violent skits around. This is a violent G.I. Joe movie. This is what this is. And yeah, it's just like, when I had some other pals and family friends who went to it, and they're like, it was okay, or I liked it, or, oh, I loved it, and how could you hate this? And, you know, just totally beating off the fucking Tom. But anyway, it was just like, they were, like, doing the whole, like, when I saw reports seeing how so many had, like, applied to be in the Navy after seeing it, I'm like, ah, you guys are sheep. you took the bait. Like, the first one was propaganda, but, like Casablanca, just no one was really paying attention to it. They're just kind of enjoying it too much. And it was like, for that many people to actually see this, like with all this extra CGI and slow motion and over the top music, and now they're like, oh, I really want to join now. I'm like, okay, so you took the bait again.
I guess one of the biggest problems I had with it felt like I was watching a cheaper version of the first one.
Yeah, like an Ace Combat, like, cutscene, like some video game. This is, like, for Call of Duty Battlefield crowd. And it's just the music plays, like, so predictably. Like, you're like, of course he's gonna die, but he's not. But,
yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. It's like, okay, cue the popcorn, I guess.
So my first problem in the theater was when he survived the destruction of the Mach 11 airplane or whatever.
Yeah. There's all these actors or passable actors. I've always heard that Miles Teller's a piece of work behind the scenes, but I didn't have a problem with his performance here, but it didn't draw me out either. And then you see all these other actors and you're just like Glenn Powell from Expendables 3, John Hamm from Mad Men, and then freaking Ed Harris. Ed Harris is a dynamite actor, and they're distracting to me. They're kind of like when I see De Niro or Forrest Whitaker in some of those lesser movies, I'm like, they're good, but they could, you know, this is beneath them. They when you become so famous and done so good in like a bigger production, it always just feels like a cop out. And this was one where it's just distracting. Like, you guys, you're dynamite actors. You don't deserve to be here at all.
Right.
It's the not next... bad, but why the fuck are you here? Like,
I really don't understand how the helicopter didn't blow him in half in the woods. I
forgot about that. And it's like, and after a while, Jennifer Connelly just seems like she's a talking piece. But there's just nothing.
Yeah, where's she from? What's the story there? Just all of a sudden, the audience is supposed to know who she is.
There is that, and then it's like, so we're not going to even. So I guess Tom's again fucking James Bond. He's just
yeah.
Oh man, and so I read an article today, a fluff piece on GQ, and they're pretty much just totally ego stroking. Even producer Jerry Bruckheimer and. He's like, we might do a part three. I'm like, of course you're going to do a part three. you made Avatar money. Who are you kidding here, buddy? But I don't see where the story is barely there, but where would it go? And why? But what would happen even? I mean, I don't know anything about these recruits after spending 2 hours of them. I really wanted to eject. I wanted to freaking eject out of that jet. I did not want to watch any more of it, but I forced myself because it was an entertaining hate watch. It was just really, really fucking bad. Oh god. So I await the future riff tracks.
Oh, now that would be enjoyable.
Oh yeah, please do something.
I think if they do a part three, the only way I would be excited about it is if they really leaned into the cheese and brought in aliens or something.
Oh, they pulled a Deadpool on Independence Day. And Will Smith comes out of nowhere and says, "Welcome to Earth."
Yeah, something. Yeah, real, almost Sharknado level, you know?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Coming to Sci-Fi Channel. Top Maverick. It'd be a knockoff series starring Casper Van Dien.
Yes!
There you go. Oh man, we could write shit that's like a knockoff and even more entertaining.
Yeah.
Oh, someone should do like a YouTube parody series or some shit. And what's funny is, I to hit back on your point on like toxic masculinity, what I really don't like about being an action movie fan is people, it's kind of like when being a horror movie fan. Like people, when I tell people I like horror, they instantly assume I like to see people tortured to death. I'm like, no, I just want to see something freaky and cool and spooky, you know, and, you know, mind blowing. And same thing with action. Everyone just instantly assumes, oh, yeah, vroom, vroom. I'm like, I can still have a plot in between the explosions. I don't need to see, you know, Arnold do a shit eating grin that we all know and love, or Keanu go, whoa. You know, I can have all kinds of entertainment.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
It's got to be over the top and fun, and same kind of deal here. Like, I told my mother, for whatever reason, just thought I was going to love this. I'm like, no, fuck no. This was so soulless. It's just like watching CGI galore and then just utter bullshit. Like, you just don't, I feel zero connection to this. I really do.
Well, you just said it. It's not fun.
It's really not. And everyone else
Maverick
is just
was
like
not fun.
That everyone else is like verbally like pistol whipping us. Almost kind of like when The Irishman came out, and I just thought it wasn't contributing anything to Scorsese's long, you know, crime biopics, and everyone just started going into gangster mode. I'm gonna pistol whip you if you talk shit about these gangsters. And same deal here is like I've seen people even go on political rants about this fucking movie. I'm like, don't even remotely pretend that this is a deep script.
Yeah,
and it does
not.
Homages really bad. Like, the whole finale is a Star Wars Death Star type influence thing. But I'm like, yeah, but that's not, it's not even inspired. When you do a homage, I want to see an actual kind of like teehee, see what we did there. Like, Hitman's Bodyguard is kind of a love letter to 48 Hours type movies, for instance. And this one was just like, okay, so it's there. What is that random, you know, copied frame actually illustrate? That doesn't tell me anything.
Well, it's an homage to the original Top Gun, but it is, it's like a mirror. It's a mirror with Tom Cruise's face in it,
a copy of a copy, to quote Nine Inch Nails.
Right.
Copy of a copy. Yeah.
So the biggest thing that I saw someone say about it was, this is the movie America needs right now.
Yeah. What does America doesn't know what's good for it.
What's it doing for us?
What is it doing? I got nothing. I'm just like, okay, so I mean.
And I love the guy who said it too. If he might be listening, I don't know. What's up, man?
Hi, but, dude. But yeah.
Yeah. I love him to death, but I don't agree with that at all. I don't understand that viewpoint.
It's kind of like, if America wants to do anything, it's got to just police itself. And just I saw plenty of other people doing the whole woke and wanting something that's mindless. I'm like, see, there's so many other ways to have mindless fun. I didn't get anything from this, even going on the mindless level. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah, it's kind of basically got to be just like bananas, just very mindless. And I don't know, I'm sensing a lot of guys just have a guy crush on Tom Cruise too. It's just like, I don't want to be like any of these guys. I don't have any just desire to fly away into the sky. And a movie should make you want to teleport to the events it's displaying on screen and escape reality. And it's like you say, very heavy handed and just very by the numbers. And I'm seeing others do the whole, you got to be in the cinema experience. I'm like, no, bullshit. I've been in great theaters and still seen images that look like they're projected off of another projector. It's just, it's nothing to do with the theater or the Foley. It's just people wanted something that over the top, or maybe it's just nostalgia.
I think it might be the man crush thing. I haven't looked at it that way. I think a lot of guys.
I see so many people like Tom Cruise. Like, they, like, any other celebrity, they will hate or talk shit about. And for whatever reason, I guess it's the guy's fantasy. It's like kind of with Steven Seagal. Everyone, when he came out, everyone wanted to go around kicking, you know, barflies who wouldn't leave him alone or do their own bastardized version of New Jersey Kung Fu. Even though Tom Cruise has done all kinds of sketchy shit, for whatever reason, just no one wants to look at it that way. I don't get it.
Maybe it's little man syndrome, too.
Yeah, there you go. Tom Cruise is their boner pill.
It's like if, hey, man, if this 5'2" guy can do all this stuff, we have to like him.
Right. I have to be like him. I'm not doing something right. And it's like, just be you. Be independent. It could be just nostalgia, though, kind of like the various arguments we're having over the now toxic Star Wars and Halloween fan bases, where it's just like, oh, man, this was a long time coming.
Yeah, Godzilla fandom can be pretty rough, too.
Oh, yeah, I got really bitched out by some guys who were just like, what do you mean the Jurassic Park pearls? I'm like, if you know anything about Gareth Edwards, he's trying to imitate Spielberg. He's totally having all these Spielberg type Jaws or Jurassic Park type moments. And I don't know. But yeah, there are some Godzilla guys who get all mad if you don't know what era. I'm like, just say the 90s era. Fuck. Not everyone speaks that language. Jesus.
Yeah. You mean you don't like Shin Godzilla?
No, you're right. What's wrong with Godzilla? Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, and that is it, too. I mean, that there are many diehard Godzilla fans who found a lot of the new ones, including Shin Godzilla, to be a rough sit. And I'm just like, hey, Godzilla has been the same for every time. A giant ancient dinosaur that breathes fire that, you know, gets into a turf war and sometimes saves the galaxy. That's all there is. And like you say, is like that. It's amazing how some people will not give a shit about anything happening in the world, and then if anyone says anything like they absolutely, instead of just civilly disagreeing, like they will just, I was used to it. I would see people throw rocks at each other at recess if you disagreed on anime. It's just like, people are animals. It's just, I mean, for fuck's sake, just agree to disagree. What else do you want to do? And you brought up funny stuff about the Jason and Elm Street, you know, saga. Is just like, what? Jason didn't do pretend to be anything else but just fun. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And I will see people just do anything from putting Jason X as their worst movie they've ever seen to just, what was the point with the hockey mask? I'm like, that's kind of just the weird appeal. He's just, Jason goes ape shit. That's kind of just the camp fun of it all. But what? With that, I get it. Same thing with the Expendables. It's Stallone and company basically doing video game steroid-induced versions of their 80s and 90s personas. That's all it is. And I mean, even Fast and Furious, I do not get the Top Gun love. I've seen other people say, oh, I want to fly a jet just like that. I'm like, well, I guess. I mean, I can't even see it half the time. Most of the time, it's just a green screen or him playing beach ball. That's
well,
it.
When they're having the jet scenes, they can't cut away from his face and the helmet long enough to show you anything.
Exactly. And even, you know, whatever's legit or not, it just always just looks extremely fake to me. I'm just like, it just feels like a soundstage. And I guess you could say it's an Avatar moment. People love seeing recycled stories when it's just mindless enough, even though it can really just be very mundane after a while. It's like, it doesn't matter if it does or doesn't hold up on whatever viewing. It's, I've seen plenty of other Reddit guys go to town just saying they haven't cared for any movies in 2022. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's really no rush. I think with Letterboxd and other companies, I think everyone's been learning to just start being sarcastic instead of just take movies this serious. I mean, it always took me 3 years to get through most of the movies of a giant year.
So, I, oh yeah, yeah.
I don't really understand in doing a top 10 of the year or top 20 when there's so many other movies that are going to take a year to even be streamable or seen overseas. You know, I just, there's no rush unless you're Ebert. I don't, and he's dead. Yeah. So what's the point?
If you're getting a check from it, maybe, but we're not getting paid.
So. Oh, man. So what are some, to alleviate, now that we've done this hot take, what are some military movies you do recommend that everyone see every other year?
Oh, Casualties of War.
Oh, yes. There you go. If you want to get very gritty, it doesn't get talked about enough. Everyone often kind of goes directly to Platoon or Full Metal Jacket. I saw Deer Hunter again about 2 years ago, actually, and I was like, that's a good movie, but I can't watch it again. They really skull fucked me this time. It's just 4 hours, very tragic, tragic shit.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you will either like it and feel all of the heart wrenching and be blown away by it, or you'll find it a rough sit. It really does depend. I was pretty much would always watch war movies growing up. So yeah, Crimson Tide, still of Dynamite, World War Free scenario where with office politics, and it just blows me away every time I see it on TV. It doesn't matter if it's edited or not for language. It gels. Obviously, I can watch just about any other Spielberg epic, Lawrence of Arabia. I will watch anytime it's on, even though it's 3 fucking hours. I'll watch Last Samurai, even though it's whitewashed. That's fucking Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's the reason I didn't even watch that. The reason I've never seen that.
It's got some good fights. If you liked Edward Zwick's work on Glory, I think you'll like it. But yeah, it's, again, it just worked because of the scenario of a post-Civil War guy, you know, East meets West. You know, it wasn't because of, oh, Tom Cruise is in it, you know? I know you hate fucking Matt Damon, but I actually like Saving Private Ryan.
I don't know that I hate him. Since he played fake Loki, he's got a soft spot. I've got a soft spot. But, like, I don't want to watch him carry a film at all. I just don't want to see it.
It's all good. That's kind of how I was with Ben Affleck back when he was the butt of any jokes, but now I don't mind him.
Yeah. I can see that.
Green Zone, I actually think is very underrated. The Kingdom, Lone Survivor. There's been some other movies recently where you're like, wow.
Oh, 13 Hours was good.
Oh, yes. And so many 12? People. No, 13, yeah, right. But there's so many who refuse to see it. They're like, ah, fuck Michael Bay. I'm like, oh, come on.
What?
Not every movie he does is Michael Bay, you know?
Yeah, not every movie's Transformers. Get over it.
Not everything is based on a toy. Sometimes you go to his movies to see Will Smith and Martin Lawrence cussing out drug dealers while they go racing cars. Sometimes you want to see Sean Connery and Nick Cage jump off of, you know, an island. Sometimes you want to see Bruce Willis, you know, sacrifice himself to an asteroid. You know, Michael.
That's right.
But yeah, he's been doing just a lot of that in Ambulance Server, just movies where he's like, I did not. Those are like the most on Michael Bay movies I've seen in a while. Hell, the dude produced The Last Ship, which is another just like very kick-ass World War III scenario action sci-fi show that ran for 6 years on TNT.
Oh, yeah?
I recommend that. In fact, there's a connection here to Top Gun. You know the black Joint Chief guy, Charles Parnell, is in there. Yeah, he was Master Chief on Last Ship. So when I saw him in that, I'm like, I hope you get a paycheck and you get in another movie that's actually good. You're good.
Cool.
Yeah, there's some fun ones out there. But like you say, it just seems like half the time they'll just like toot their horn while someone dies in slow motion. And you're just like, come on. I don't need this. It can be fun. It can be serious. It can be just brutally honest. But yeah, Casualties of War is just so underrated. And I'll see others who won't see it just because they're familiar with, like, I don't know. It's like Brian De Palma. They're familiar with like some of his better known ones, but not that one. Or they don't see it, want to see it because Sean Penn's in it. I'm like, And Sean Penn, I can ignore Sean Penn. He's a good director, at least. Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to hate him in that movie anyway. It works.
That's true, too. Yeah, he is actually very good.
There was another one. Shoot. I forgot. if I remember, I'll interrupt and bring it up.
Well, what era was it?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Well, what era was it?
80s, I think. Okay. 80s. It was older. It was older.
What was the period it was during?
Oh, I know what it was. It wasn't 80s. My bad. That's ridiculous. It was Andrew Garfield. Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah, that was okay. I liked how it was shot. I just kind of felt like it was kind of more of the same, but it was good to see. I mean, I really liked, hell, you want to talk Mel Gibson, I actually liked Braveheart growing up.
Did you?
And now it's kind of the butt of many jokes saying, oh, they took liberties. Gladiator, I know, is mocked. I actually still don't mind it, even though it's a very basic story.
Yeah, I don't mind Gladiator. Gladiator's good.
Are you not entertained?
But I think Joaquin Phoenix sells it more than Russell Crowe.
Yeah, you really grew to just kind of love to hate him in that. And now I see so many people who have like the Blu-ray extended cut and they'll just mock it because they'll find bloopers that they couldn't see years ago. Why are crew members playing extras? Why is there a plane flying over Maximus in a big iconic scene? I'm like, come on, guys, you have too much free time.
Yeah.
I like movie mistakes too, but not to where I'm like, you know, mocking the filmmaker. They're doing what none of us could fucking do.
That's right.
There's an extended cut of Troy. Did you ever see that one, or was that too overrated for you?
Troy, I went to the theater opening weekend. I don't know. Maybe I was a little too in my head about it, but something about Brad Pitt being flawlessly hairless, and I don't know. It's just I didn't dig
Orlando
it.
Orlando Bloom's still in Nicholas mode.
Yeah.
No, that's all good. All good. I think the extended cut like fixes a few things, but it just kind of came out at a weird time where basically every movie had to be kind of like the other movie instead of kind of being its own thing.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
I was just a big fan of Greek mythology, and I was just like, you know, they're taking liberties, but it's kind of just all about just kind of the action. But I feel like they stripped away half the storyline, so you don't really know half the time why they're fighting.
Yes, exactly.
It fixes some things, not everything. I
never saw Saving Private Ryan. Is that any good?
If you like Tom Hanks, it's definitely one of his essential roles. I always dug it because of how it kind of avoided politics altogether, and it was just kind of an anti-war movie, just showing you how pointless some of the missions just feel. You know, you're here. I was just very familiar with it even years before I saw it, because that and Schindler's List, because I was just like, okay, so this was a very often talked about thing. You know, when it's advertised, they're like, oh, you know, you see them arguing, oh, one man, what's this matter? It's like, no, it's about preserving a bloodline. And I think it does a better job of showing how youthful all those soldiers were back then, and how Tom Hanks is a school teacher, and he was already a natural leader, and so now here he is, he's a platoon leader. And it really kind of just hits home. Like, it doesn't, again, like you say, it doesn't do what this movie fucking did that we discussed today, where they're seemingly invincible and they just cry for 1 minute. It's like, no. Every other scene, someone is like running out of ammo and throwing their helmets at someone, or their hands are shaking and they can't stop it from shaking. It shows how it eats you away, and that's kind of why people liked it. But now you'll probably see it and be like, oh, so this is what Black Hawk Down and Tears of the Sun and Sicario kind of done.
I want to see it now.
Okay. You might find it generic, or you might really love it. For me, I've seen it. What's funny is my brother saw it in a history class and it wiped him out. Not because he was crying or anything, but it's just like, man, that movie is so morbid. I can't take my eyes off it.
Cool. I'm going to go with, and it's not actually on the battlefield, but my favorite war movie is probably First Blood.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Everyone loves to make fun of Rambo nowadays, but yeah, the first one is so underrated in that it's like he brought Vietnam back to him, and is so taught and well directed by Ted Kotcheff, who has made a career, you know, directing everything from SVU to stage plays for television. And the Canadian scenery is just gorgeous, but I like how, like you say, they illustrate it like a jungle. Like, Rambo never left it, and now he's come to this town with all these shithead cops, and before you can say bad day at Black Rock, there's a manhunt out for him. He's both a fugitive and defending his turf, and basically he has to do everything. I like how they show how he goes after a wild boar, and that's like, he has to make all these death traps. He's almost like a, you know, a mature Ewok. He's actually fucking like, and then at the end, like, everyone's still blaming him for everything that's happened. He's like, I just passed through town.
that last scene where Troutman gets in there and Stallone just opens up, that's some of the best acting I have ever seen.
Yeah, Richard Crenna sells it, and you get an idea of it, as opposed to, you know, don't get me wrong, the sequels, you know, are what they are. They are great mindless video game type violence, but like the first one is just like the perfect showing of how to deprogram everybody. It's like, okay, the war is over. We have tried everything. Deputies have abused their power. The sheriff's word doesn't mean shit to this guy at this point. And he just wants the guy to just rot in a cell. And then, the general Troutman just comes in and just flat out is just like, okay, everything you're feeling in this room, let it go. Drop that gun. Come with me.
Yeah. Yeah. You can totally see. I mean, he's got PTSD, like extreme. And and he shows it, and they know how to show it. You know, it was filmed really well. That I watch it. I rewatch it just for that scene.
Yeah. It's pretty much what makes it worth it. It's not, and you never, you know, Rambo was always interesting to me, much like the Punisher, you know, who was inspired by him, and that he fights his own wars, and he lets everything get under his skin, but he don't feel like he's going too far or anything. He's just like, no, like, I've been messed with, and I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, it's almost like like the whole movie is an internal struggle. We get to see what's going on in Rambo's mind.
Oh, totally. I love how, like, when they lock down that town in the finale, and before you even get to the explosions, like, I like how the camera just kind of pans throughout that town. It's literally the Wild West, you know? You're expecting almost a tumbleweed to just go through, but it's just so isolated, and before the music even kicks into gear by Jerry Goldsmith, you're just like, you're expecting the surprise. It's all naturally earned, much like, seeing Rambo just having to come to terms with everything. And unfortunately, much like Commando, everyone will just kind of do a dodgy reference to First Blood, and you're just like, but do you actually really know what it's about, or are you just looking at the cover with Stallone holding a machine gun?
Right. They backed a broken animal into a corner, and he ripped their assholes out.
Yes, he did. This is basically a pig you can't make into pork. You can't.
That's right.
You can't deep fry this guy. Oh, man. Oh, did you ever see The Kingdom or Sicario?
No, I didn't. What's that?
Okay, yeah. So The Kingdom is basically Heat in Saudi Arabia. Basically, all these FBI agents, Jim Gardner, Jamie Foxx, team up with the Arabian police and SWAT, and basically just go after these guys who targeted like an American military housing over there, and they just say they go through all the red tape, and basically They just find that they're in over their heads. They're not prepared for all this. You know, they all are very well trained. Jason Bateman is very amusing in it. Even though it's a
series. Jason Bateman's in it?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Chris,
I'm in.
There you go. Yeah. Arresting Arabia Development. Chris Cooper's in there. You'll recognize the two middle Saudi Arabian cops within a heartbeat. You're like, I know, I've seen them in something. And it's awesome seeing their side to it too. Kind of like how We Were Soldiers showed the Viet Cong side briefly. It's juicy having it on, you know, all sides of it instead of Letters from Iwo Jima. I'd actually recommend too.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that. I like it a lot. I liked it better than Flags of Our Father.
Yeah. Flags was kind of just doing the usual thing. And you're like, I want to know about the Native American guy. Oh, they're not showing him. They're showing all the other guys. I'm like, I've seen this story too much. Talk Good Guy, Brotherhood of War is really, really brutal. Like that shows the North and South Korean war. That is very brutal.
I need to check that out.
Yeah, I cried for about 3 days after that one.
Oh, wow. Yes, then I am in that too.
Oh, blood, sweat, and tears. Gotta love it. I take it you're going to be very active on Facebook, Justin, or you have a TikTok or anything you'd like to promote?
I have, no, not really. I mean, yeah, I do have TikTok, but I got like 6 videos and they're all stupid.
Hey, man, got to have fun. I can see you doing an improv comedy. you could be like, the TikTokers will often do like something like they're talking to another character and it's clearly them dressed up as a different character. And that's kind of fun.
I love that.
Hey, how you doing? What? How you doing? Go away.
There's one dude I follow. He dresses up like Satan and he talks about stuff. It's hilarious.
That sounds like it. Oh, man. So this has been a delight doing this with you, and I will. You're welcome back anytime. I should have you back on when we do the Elm Street versus Friday the 13th face-off.
Yes, I am there.
Who has the better part 4 or part 5? You know.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting too because like Nightmare's only got 7, plus you know the verses, and you know the 13th got up to 10. So then it'll be a matter of, is this a good part 9 or is this a good part 10? Who had the better TV show spinoff?
I tell you, I like both of the TV shows.
Yeah, it's a versus match with those sometimes. And I'm like, they both had their place. They were both very edgy. They were showing you could, I kind of would actually rank them up there with the Terminator Sarah Connor show. They showed you could still make an edgy show with some gore in it and awesome versions of the characters, even though, you know, you had to play by the rules, even at 10 o'clock on network TV.
Yeah. Even though Jason wasn't even in Friday the 13th.
Right. His presence was felt. It shows that, I mean, I kind of rank it much like with Millennium and the X-Files, which we just covered for Halloween. It was like, it just shows that you can still open up the whole universe and make it feel natural. I mean, people are doing that now with this Andor show. You'll either like it or hate that one, but I'm just like, they're at least going in a different direction with Star Wars. Here's how the dated 9-to-5 job of an Imperial or a Rebel.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting.
Totally. It's been denied on us. We've explored it a bit in the video games and comics, but at least it's a different deal instead of just let's go to the next deal and next deal. And it's like, I love Mandalorian, but I don't, and Boba Fett. I don't need to see them all the time. You know, I can see all these other guys who were big. That's kind of the genesis of Star Wars. These guys are in a futuristic war in a galaxy far away. Who are their so-called heroes that are well-known in folklore?
I'd like to see a Star Wars show about the crew who were building the second Death Star and how politics play into it, and maybe the rebels have some guys on the inside
second it. I want to know who was the guy who actually pulled the fucking turbo laser, you know?
Yeah.
Did that weigh on his conscience? Did he like commit suicide after that? Oh my God.
I didn't sign up for this. Totally the shit that I want to see out of Star Wars now. I don't need episode 10, 11, and 12. I want to get into the minds of these guys.
The minds. I was actually, some people poo-pooed this one. David Ayer, you know, writer, director on his East LA movies like Training Day and Street Kings and SWAT. He noted that if he was ever offered a Star Wars movie, he would have it basically be a horror movie set on Hoth, where people are being harmed by the Wampa creature. And I'm like, oh, sign me up. That, as close as they got to that was probably with the ice spiders in that one Mondo season 2 episode.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, nah, I'm there. But yeah, no, this has been a delight having you on here, my dude. Glad you could make it.
Yep, I appreciate the invite.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.